Reggie Atitullo, John Lopez, Byron in for Figgy today. It is In the Loop, and they start on a Football Friday now.
That's right. He stole my thunder. I was going to go with the Football
Friday. Sorry about that.
No,
dude.
No, it's all right. I appreciate the enthusiasm in the handoff. Nothing makes me smile more than Seth wishing death upon someone or anyone at any point. So we're getting going on a Football Friday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Of course, as you heard our guy say, it is John Lopez, myself, Reginald Atitullo, and Byron Matthews in for Figgy Fig. Figgy Fig still day to day. We are watching. We are monitoring. He is eligible to be active on Monday, but
he's day to day.
We're still going through the process of those things.
Yeah,
Fig, a better man than me though.
How's that?
While being sick and out, he still put together another mixtape.
He sure did.
He's still doing a little bit of
he
work.
He absolutely so did.
Your mixtape is covered in that way, and I'll do my best to make sure that it's not bad. That's the name of the game for this Texans offense as well. Make sure that you are not bad, because it's gotten to a fever pitch. All the conversation around the offense, around the offensive line, and Bobby Slowick.
Bobby Slowick it is. You know, last night made me feel a certain kind of way about Bobby Slowick, watching what the Rams were doing against that Vikings defense.
That was a fun, like, coordinator play caller matchup.
Yep.
At least for the first half. We got into some interesting places in the second half. But, yeah, just seeing Sean McVay go up against Brian Flores and, you know, seeing the, you know, tet for tet and the kind of having that meeting of the minds in some ways. It was real fun to see if you're a football head.
Well, the reason I was looking at it is like, yeah, like, see, this offense does work, can work, can protect the quarterback. Same thing with
young guys on the line as well.
With young
Rams.
Yeah, how about this? I mean, the Rams don't have a single first round pick on their offensive line. They have an undrafted guy.
So that's the secret sauce. Just don't get first round
this
picks.
This is where I went with it.
You see it, Sean? That's the answer. Just no first round picks on the offensive line.
Yeah, exactly.
Need more scrubs.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's where I was like, okay, so this offense can work against a Vikings team that worked you. There is not a single first round pick on the Rams offensive line. They have an undrafted tackle. They have a sixth round center. And then a second, a third, and a fourth rounder. So it can work. It does work. It's the same style. It's the same approach, et cetera. And so I just got kind of curious. Well, Ben Johnson's offense scored 31 and rushed for 144 against the Vikings. And then, of course, Matt LaFleur, the Packers, they scored 29 and were sacked just once. Oh, by the way, last night there were zero sacks. So it got me thinking.
They got
about
dangerously close to one, though, that Matt Stafford, I didn't know he could pull that out of his keister and then ultimately throw a touchdown pass on it. But, yeah, I mean, the point still stands. Yeah. Like, he was not under a grave amount of pressure in the course of this game.
And so all three of those offenses that have had a lot of success against the Vikings, you know, are the same as what we're running out there. It just got me thinking, like, okay, you know, is it the line? Is it the scheme? Is it Slowick's approach, play calling, whatever? I don't know.
Well, Bobby Slowick spoke to all of those things.
Yeah.
Thursdays are always fun. You get to hear from the coordinators. You get a little bit of insight into what's popping with them. And what was really fun about all of that, or maybe not as fun, but what was really interesting to me is that typically there's a little bit of a split and then you look forward to the game. Bobby Slowick, it felt like, was answering almost exclusively questions about what had happened this past week against the Packers. Like, it was very much a dissection of what happened there all the way around. And there was answering for some of those things. There was kind of mea culpas. Would you rather go there, or would you rather just get into the offensive line of it?
Let's do the mea culpas, because I think it ties in with what I was thinking as I'm watching this offense have success against the Vikings.
Yeah, and I'm really, one of the big things was Bobby Slowick was asked to answer for that last drive, that last offensive possession that the Texans had, where they looked like they were playing for a field goal. And then, you know, run, and then ultimately it's like, hey, go pass. When D'Amico was asked about this after the game, he was like, no, we were trying to go score.
Yeah.
And that did not seem to kind of jive in the mindset. So Bobby Slowick was asked about to break down the decision, or that third and 15 pass play that was short of the sticks to Tank Dell on the right side of the field. Doesn't even complete it inbounds, but even if he does, it does not give you the effect that you need.
Yeah.
This was Bobby Slowick breaking down that play, that decision in the Packers game.
So the third and 15, I mean, like, the starting point is, man, that's a bad call, right? So we go into it thinking hopefully we get inside leverage or off corner, you know, like really what they've shown in similar situations is three guys across the end zone, off corner, inside leverage on Tank, gave him a route he scored on last year, really same part of the field.
And then instead we got outside leverage press, which is hard. Like, that's not what the route's for. They doubled Steph. So really for the quarterback, you got to get all the way to the backside answers, which would have been good on that play, but he's already been hit 12 times. You know, he's not, it's everything trickles down in the NFL, right? So it's not always any like one given play. I think what CJ did in that moment was 100% right. Like, we can't hold on to the ball. We got to get the ball out of our hands and look be darned a little bit, you know? So to me, like, it's the fact that we've had the protection issues early in the game that we're not confident being able to hang in the pocket. And then along the same lines, like, we're first and 10 from, I want to say, what, the 12-yard line, something like that, I think, was the first down. You know, we call a run because Joe was in a groove. We get blown off the ball. Next thing you know, it's second and 12. They run the same pressure. I call a run play we've called five times in the game. It was our best run by far, which is premier against the pressure. And, you know, we executed it worse than we did the other five times. We lose three more yards, and now third and 15's tough anyway. You know what I mean? So it was a bad situation all the way around.
Man, that is so bad of a look for the offensive line more than anything, getting blown up like that. But then he said, and he fell on the sword, you know, or first he said, I should say, just a bad call by me.
And I appreciated him getting into, like, breaking down what the thought process was there, right? In all of these instances, he points to, even first and second down, the thought process. These are plays that had been successful either in that game, and then a third down, it was a play that they had scored on. So, like, I appreciate kind of hearing some of those things, like, when they're running the football. And it did feel like in the moment when they were running the football, I'm like, okay, I can kind of understand why you go there, because that had been the most successful way that you'd move the football in the course of that game.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you're right. And then he brings it back around while also taking responsibility for himself, right? Like, if you are going to talk about and point fingers, at least acknowledge your role. And then he does start there, but he does get around to saying, we got blown up in the biggest moment.
Exactly.
Our offensive line lost the reps.
And then the other part of it, which is kind of a subtle reference to the offensive line, maybe not so subtle, is, you know, on the play, the third and 15, you know, he had the backside open. But damn, he'd been hit 12 times.
Yeah, you can't get all the way
so
there.
So basically he's saying we can't even rely on C.J. Stroud magic at that point because he's getting pummeled. So like in all three instances, he's fallen on the sword, bad play called by me on the third and 15. But in all three instances, it points back to the offensive line, even the pass. He goes, yeah, there was something on the back line, but we can't rely on C.J. doing C.J. things all the time. We just can't do it because he's getting killed back there.
Yes, how did you react to just the general tone and tenor of this? Because I think that's also been a part of this. Bobby has been under quite a bit of pressure, quite a bit of heat from the general public outside. And I appreciated to some degree that, like, he did accept some level of responsibility for this. In fact, he accepted a lot of responsibility for this. He still wanted to make sure and point out that, hey, man, these guys got to show up and do their job.
They're getting blown up. You know, how did I react? Actually, this is a classic case of, like, two things being true at one point at the same time.
Yeah.
The one thing that's true to me is good on Bobby for not trying to, you know, just hide the obvious, you know, or blame, even though he talked about the offensive line, but, you know, kind of sidestep the question or whatever. So good on him for that. The second part of it, though, Reggie, was you keep saying this and people can start believing you that it is you. You know, you know, at some point, it's all on me. It's all on me. It's all on me. And people are going to say, yeah, it is all on you. You know, this is a Bobby Slowick problem, so to speak.
Yeah. And that's the thing that gets interesting is I appreciate the transparency, the ability to take responsibility. But at some point, all those things are nice, and that's preferable to the other way.
Yeah.
Eventually, we don't want to have to ask these questions over and over. And so if there is ever a time to get this together, it is against the Indianapolis Colts, right? This is a Colts defense that doesn't particularly do anything great.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting DeForest Buckner back in the middle of that defensive line, and maybe you think, all right, that makes them a little bit more formidable. But you should be able to look significantly better than against the Packers team where Jeff Hafley and Matt LaFleur are able to take what they have, which is pretty damn good, and then make it better. But just going on back around, I also wanted to hear just like Bobby Slowick's take on what actually the issues are. Because we talked about the smaller thing in that one drive, but like, are you assessing everything that's happening here? So Bobby Slowick, what do you make of the O-line protection issues in general?
for me, that starts with me. I'm not doing something right. I'm not coaching something right. I'm not saying things in a way that needs to be interpreted the way it needs to be interpreted. Because honestly, the things that we missed in the game are things that DeMeco's been giving us day one in training camp. So it's stuff that I know they've seen and they've done and they've knocked out before. I mean, obviously, you're on the road, you're in Lambeau, communication's going to be hard, you got to strain in that regard, but we've been working on that part of it for 4 weeks. Like, we've been working on what it's like on a road game, even when we have a home game. We've been straining on silent, we've been going on silent cadence even on weeks like this. So, I mean, that's been an emphasis for us. You see it in the pre-snap, now we got to see it in the post-snap, and I got to find a way to get that out of our game.
All right, so this is where I got a little bit unnerved, and you know that, because I was telling you before the show, this and the getting out of the huddle on time, which let's hear that, because like when I saw these two things, a thought came to mind that was very unnerving. And that is when he was talking about like some of the communication issues and what some of those were.
I'd say our biggest thing is not necessarily from the huddle to the ball right now. It's getting into the huddle. You know, like when we get a play, when we make a play on offense, we have a tendency right now where we can get into the huddle later, even though CJ's ready. And that's been really a thing for us in practice this week is, hey, we got to go from one play to the next, to the next, to the next. We got to keep that tempo up so we can do these things to help empower people to be in good positions.
So let's go back. All right. They've seen these things since training camp. DeMeco has shown them the same things that they saw in Green Bay and elsewhere. That's what he said. Those are his words.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they can't get into the huddle on time. They're not getting into the huddle on time.
I'm telling them the things that you in theory would work and would help them, but for some reason it's not landing. So I'm taking responsibility that, hey,
but
I need
they're
to
not
find
doing
them,
it.
But they're not getting it, right? There is quite an indictment in the words that he is saying
here
underneath
there is.
Kind of like the responsibility that he seems like he is taking. There's a big indictment on this all.
It's my fault, but it's their fault. Is kind of what he's saying. You know, in a sense.
And almost like, actually, the buck stops with me, however.
Yeah, like, exactly.
They're not handling up their end of the bargain.
And the thing about it that's driving me nuts, like I said, I was a little unnerved. I'm not going to say upset, but a little unnerved by it. These are fundamental things. Getting into a huddle on time is a training camp thing. You know, seeing these, DeMeco has showed you what you've seen in these games since training camp, again, his words, that is a fundamental thing, you know, and people kind of casually throw away around the word, oh, it's all about fundamentals. No, this is all about fundamentals. It really is. This is college stuff. This is high school stuff, getting into a huddle on time, recognizing a defense, which, you know, the word they're using is communications, but he just said it. They've seen this. They know what to do. So it's kind of exactly what you said. The buck stops with me, but man, these guys just ain't doing it.
Yeah, and that is, I was encouraged by the willingness to take responsibility. This is the other side of that coin.
Like I said, there's both things are true.
The other side of that coin is, oh goodness, like he, it seems like in an indirect way, he's questioning the basic professionalism of this offensive line. He's questioning their ability to do the most basic portions of their job or maybe the willingness to do it. I don't know if it's that they can't do it or they won't do it or they're not able to. I don't know what part of it is, but the fact is that it's not getting done. Those are the things that we knew, but that the offensive coordinator, understandably, like in trying to make it apparent that I need to do everything I can to get them to that place, it's embarrassing, really, that he has the wherewithal and the place to be able to, in week 7, headed into week 8, mind you, be able to tell you, hey, man, these are things that I'm trying to get my offensive line to do. My offensive line that has dudes that are getting paid well, that has a captain on it, that has veterans, right, that has highly drafted first-round players. Like, that offensive line needs me to get them all in their ducks in a row in that way.
How are you
in
not
order for them to do their job?
How are you not able to get your team in a huddle? And let's go back a little bit, because it's not just that.
Well, they do get in the huddle, just a little bit late.
Well,
on time. everything now slacks, and then you don't give yourself the maximum opportunity to identify and, you know,
I mean,
change plays if necessary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, it is them. But how are you not able to do that in, you know, in week, going into week 8? And then, as I mentioned, let's go back a little bit. Remember the all the false starts, all the, you know, lining up incorrectly and all that. How do you not get these guys to do that? Now, they have since kind of worked, fixed that. Well, not kind of. They fixed it in the last couple of weeks. But again, you know, Slowick was saying back then, oh, we coach it. We try to get them lined up. It's just on us to blah, blah, blah. Well, but he's still saying even that it's on us to get them to do it. But he said at the same time, we've coached them to do this right, to focus and not jump and not line up incorrectly and all that. So, I mean, this is coaching. This is coaching. Like, it flat out is. You know, I know it. I know the players aren't doing it. But this is stuff you've been working on since training camp, and it's still not resonating. You're still not connecting.
I do wonder how much of this then comes back to like that kind of adage of you can lead a horse to water.
Maybe. Maybe it is the players and it just doesn't hit, you know?
And that, man, if I'm a player hearing that, like, you got to do some real self-examination in that. And I mean, they know it. Like, they've echoed the same things, right? You have Titus Howard talking about the fact that, yeah, man, we got out there and they weren't doing anything that we hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Right? We just did not execute it to the highest level, right? All of those things come back around, and you have to ask yourself, right? How have I been given all of the tools to make this happen, and yet I'm not making it happen? Like, there has to be a point of pride.
Yes.
That comes in at some point.
Do you have the wrong guys, or are you just not coaching them?
And that is a scary proposition to get to, where your offensive coordinator has can say that pretty as straightforwardly as I imagine you can without being the guy that's throwing your team under the bus.
Yeah. And on the text board, people are taking sides. I mean, I don't think it's slow at coaching the right way, says the 713. I just think they're lazy offensive linemen. I'm putting it on the players. I mean, maybe we don't know, but man. You can't get your guys to get into the huddle on time.
Yeah, and how much is getting into the huddle on time part of CJ? I'm sure that's CJ has a whole part in this, but
yeah.
This is where I come back to the fact that, hey, man, you have dudes that are pros.
Professionals.
That have done this for a while, and you would imagine that, hey, man, if there's anything that you have, the veteran lineman being able to kind of help the quarterback, like, hey, guys, let's go. Let's get in here. Listen up.
Yeah.
Right? There was instances where I think Slowick mentioned as well, and I don't know that we have the cut of this part, where he was asked if CJ has the capability of changing the plays. And he's like, look, man, sometimes it's less about that. Get into he has the play, or he has the opportunity, but if you're not getting into the huddle, if you're not getting to the line, then getting an opportunity to diagnose, you don't give him time to do all of those things.
We definitely have something to watch beyond just the performance with the offensive line now. And at some point, people are going to start listening to Bobby Slowick and say, you know what? It is on you.
And it's a football Friday. You're going into a game against the Colts at home. The environment is set for you. This feels like the lowest bar of... Mm-hmm. Checking a box that I can do these things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it'd be a real problem, and it'd be real sad if you can't check that box Sunday afternoon at NRG Stadium on your home field against a Colts team that I am not all that scared of.
Yeah.
You're in the loop right here, Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going. It's a football Friday. I promise that we feel good about these Texans going into this game. We'll talk more about that. But coming up next... who are the most important players in this game? Lopez says that they're not even linemen. We'll talk about all that next.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, it's a football Friday here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atitula, and filling in for our guy Figgy Fig is Byron Matthews. Appreciate you, Byron. Thanks for hanging out with us. Figgy is still sick, so best wishes to that man. Thoughts and prayers, all those types of things. And he got you a mixtape, so we will be having that at 1:20 during the course of this. Always get involved with the program by catching us on the YouTube, which is Sports Radio 610, the Twitch, which is 610 Houston, and 713-572-4610 is the number to text, where Lopez is already talking about some high school football.
You're darn right. Atascocita, baby. This is the year. Take out North Shore.
If you say so.
Well, it's probably not.
Somebody said Figgy has Newhouse-itis. Probably.
Yeah.
Quite possibly. But, you know, he'll get over that, I'm sure. Maybe. Probably. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But this game against the Colts, noon. NRG Stadium. You'll have obviously pregame at 9 a.m. out there, South Plaza.
Yeah.
With Sean and Seth. It'll be popping. Be excited to get back to the home vibes of it all. But with this game, right, it is an important game. I don't think it's a particularly difficult game. Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong here, if you think I am speaking out of turn or if I'm just flat out wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this is a particularly difficult game, but it's an important game.
Oh, it's hugely important. You know, any slip up here, I think you have to almost reevaluate everything, right?
If you don't get it done, like, yeah, that's a real big problem.
So, but I do think they're going to get it done, and I do think they're going to get it done. You know, kind of what we're going to talk about here. You know, we can wring our hands and worry and all that about the offensive line,
and I will. And you can't stop me from doing it.
And it is legitimate, no question about it. It is definitely a big worry, a big problem, as we've talked about this week. Probably the only thing that is keeping this team from being what I think it is, and that's a Super Bowl contender, is the offensive line. But in this game, I don't even think the offensive line is the biggest issue.
Okay.
So, outside of, like, something happens to CJ Stroud, knock on wood.
Is this actually made out of wood?
I think particle board underneath here, so okay. That counts. Does it? Does particle board count as wood? I guess so.
I don't know. We have to find the technicality.
Is particle board wood? Google.
Okay, very good. Somebody handle that for us and come back to us on the text line. But yeah, so who are the most important players in this game is a question that I would like to ask, because you don't seem to believe that it's the offensive line with all the things that we just said in the previous segment and the ways in which Bobby Slowick has kind of made it abundantly clear that, hey man, I've done a lot of things. Yeah. Maybe I haven't been the absolute best. Maybe I need to adjust my approach. But it's not that they haven't been told things. It's not that they haven't been shown things. It's not that they haven't been set up. It's that they're not getting it done.
Yeah.
Even with all of that, and with all the consternation and hand-wringing, you're like, the most important players in this game.
In this game.
In this particular
game.
And let
me explain.
Not on the offensive line.
If you get the exact same game you got from the offensive line last week,
okay,
you win going away. Because even if Stroud has to kind of run for his life, he's won a game like that against Buffalo here at home. Even if... you know, they miss assignments and there's free runners and all that stuff. They win this game going away. And let me explain why. Because the two most important players on this team are, number one, by a long stretch, Joe Mixon. What did Joe Mixon do against this exact same defense the last time he faced?
159, damn near 180 on the total.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. On the total. Yeah.
Of all-purpose yards.
And so, and so what I'm saying is, Joe Mixon, even with the same performance from the offensive line, is going to just absolutely eat against this defense. Should. And the reason is, I'm not saying that the offensive line isn't the bigger problem from a macro view, from, you know, the 30,000-foot view, from where they want to go when they face better teams view. It is. It's the number one issue of this team. But in this game, Joe Mixon made this line look great against Indianapolis before. And this Indy defense is awful against the run. Like, really, really bad against the run. So that's why I'm saying Joe Mixon, number one, the most important player.
Especially because we detailed it yesterday.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, success rate, when it comes to rushing yards over expected, the other running backs, not good.
No.
Joe Mixon, very good.
Very
right?
good.
Right? Like, in that, you didn't need the advanced stats, but I gave them to you anyways, right? yeah, so, like, if anybody's going to make it happen against this team, it's going
to
be Joe Mixon in that.
I actually channeled you this morning.
Okay. I'm interested to see what
I
that actually
at,
means.
I looked at the expected run defense rate.
I'm not even sure if I know what that is.
And I felt very guilty about it, but...
what? You felt icky. You were like, I shouldn't be doing
like,
this.
What
is
am
bad.
I doing? What am I doing with expected run defense run rate? Colts are dead last by a mile. They are dead last by a mile. In total, regular statistics that us normal people use, run defense, they're 31st in the NFL.
A lot of yards given up.
Lots of yards given up. So that's why I'm saying, like, you get a bad performance from the offensive line, you still win. The offensive line is the big picture issue. Now, the second most important player, and, you know, we heard D'Amico talking about it, is Tank Dell. I feel the Colts are clearly going to put all their resources in stopping Joe Mixon. I don't know if it's going to help them. And they're clearly going to focus on Stephon Diggs. But that points to one person. that points to Tank Dell. That's a guy that had 7 touchdowns last year, the most by a Texans rookie ever. This year he's got 20 catches and 1 touchdown. D'Amico doesn't seem too worried about it.
Yeah, with Tank, it just has to keep going. I believe in Tank. I believe he'll be able to make some big-time explosive plays for us. He just has to keep going, and he will do that. I have all the faith in Tank.
All the faith in Tank, he will do that. If he has any semblance of a breakout game, I don't care what the offensive line does, the Texans win going away.
It's interesting. It feels, you're doing the radio thing in a big way, man. The idea that if they got the same performance on the offensive line, they still get a W here. It feels tough because you saw all the free runners, but when it comes to generating pressure, this Colts team doesn't do it at a high level. Now, again, they got Buck coming back here.
Buck.
DeForest Buckner. I don't know why that sticks with me in such a way, but DeForest Buckner coming back, right? Like maybe that changes some things. They're literally 30th when it comes to quarterback pressure rate.
Yeah.
And we've seen CJ, although I would very much not have to have him operate under pressure like he has all season long. As you mentioned, he has shown the capability of handling it up until you have the Green Bay Packers executing blitzes and executing simulated pressures in the way that they did to get an ungodly amount of pressure on him and really shift the way that he sees it, right? If it's just, I guess, what I will term as a normal amount of pressure or whatever, I do think he can get some things done. But I hear you on that. I don't think that you're actually – I actually kind of agree. I think you've laid out a pretty good point there. Although I might not go all the way on Tank. Tank might be a luxury in that way. When you talk about the importance –
Tank, man.
Yeah, you do need to get something out of Tank. But it, and I guess here's the tough thing about it, right? I'm comparing it to week one where you really tore up the Colts, but that was in part because Nico Collins was out here.
Making
the Colts his sons, right? You had that level of aspect, and who best to maybe give you some deep shots and some opportunities than Tank Dell? Because you had that's a part of the game that's almost completely dissipated is the explosive passing plays, really. Without Nico Collins, you would love to see Tank Dell, who seems like he's best suited for that, step into that role in a big way against a team that's susceptible against.
Rest assured, we all want the offensive line to get better. All I'm saying is we have on the record, on the field, multiple examples of Joe Mixon making this line look good, especially against the Colts, and running for over 100 yards, and C.J. Stroud avoiding pressure, even though he's been blitzed and pressured and all that stuff, and still winning. So that's all I'm saying. The offensive line is the number one issue of this team, just not this week.
Yeah, and that's part of why I actually feel confident that they'll win this game. Yeah. But that is where the anxiety for me. I need to do a segment just like, where is Reggie's anxiety this week? That is where the anxiety for me lies. Is that I think you can get a win with regardless of. Well, I mean, there's obviously a point where the offensive line is bad enough to lose you the game. Like there's always going to be a portion. But I think for the most part, what is reasonable to expect from the offensive line. I don't think that they will lose you this game, but the quality of and caliber of how they play, especially after the ass whooping that they were handed against the Packers, especially after all the conversation during the week, especially after what we've seen Bobby Slowick making a clear admission that, hey, I might need to shift the way that I'm doing this in order to get the message to them in the ways that D'Amico Ryans has kind of put down an ultimatum that it just needs to get done. If we do not see a shift, there is some anxiety there, but I don't think that's going to be a problem with getting a W
this week
on the weekend.
Yeah. See? I convinced you.
You did. I don't feel good about it.
I know. It's kind of dirty, too. It's like, hey, they don't have to be that good.
I thought that was going to make me feel better about it. They kind of
do need to get better, but you get my point.
All right. Yeah.
Run, Joe, run.
Run, Joe, run.
Yeah.
Let's get Tank going.
Yeah.
Go get a W and start turning this thing back in the right direction. For your Texans, in a simple way, is like expanding the AFC lead, right? Yeah. AFC South lead, right? You can't afford to give the Colts an opportunity to get right back into a place where they are level with you on record and they've split the season series. Yeah. No, go ahead and push them out of the way and get yourself, and please do so in a way that also helps you move back towards contending at the high level of the AFC. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into the question of the day. Inspired by Andre Johnson getting his ring on Sunday. Yes, his Hall of Fame ring ceremony will be at halftime of this Colts game. If you were to go into a Hall of Fame, Ooh, if you were qualified for any Hall of Fame, what Hall of Fame would it be? 713-572-4610. Bonus points for creative ones. We'll do that next. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atitula, and Byron Matthews in for Fig Fig on this Football Friday. Let's get into the question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to be inducted into a Hall of Fame, what would that Hall of Fame be? 713-572-4610. Our program director's Hall of Fame is definitely not whatever he's doing right now.
It's not cinematography. That's for damn sure.
Struggling right now in this studio.
He's not in the cinematography Anyways, that is Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that is a conversation for all of three people. So we'll move it about wider. But of course, the entirety of the city of Houston, all Texas fans.
Or Mr. Fix It, for that matter.
Yeah, that's fair. But everybody that is a Texas fan is going to appreciate on Sunday. At halftime at the Texans-Colts game, when Andre Johnson gets an opportunity to be handed his K Jewelers Made Hall of Fame ring of excellence.
Every kiss begins with K. Listen, so what Hall of Fame would you be qualified for? 713-572-4610.
Yes, excellent. Well done.
Short-term memory loss Hall of Fame here. So there's that. And, of course, on Twitch and YouTube as well. I'm not going to say the obvious one. Well, I am in one Hall of Fame, not to brag.
All right.
But, not to brag. But,
okay.
You know, the Texas A&M Journalism Hall of Fame. You know, so there is that. I need to get a ring. I don't have a ring. I just got a plaque. Anyway, I'm not going to say the obvious one, fishing or barbecue. Everybody knows I love that. And I'm not going to be that guy. So I'm trying to think of something funny that or something good, you know, interesting that I'm actually good at, or weird that I'm actually good at. I could be a Hall of Famer.
While you think.
Yeah.
This is one that I feel very strongly about.
That you would be in?
I'd be in the Deep Sleeper Hall of Fame.
You're not a big... Nothing gets you up.
I sleep deep, man. Mm-hmm. I felt that. I sleep deep, right? There's times where, you know, when you'll have locally just a big storm. I'm not talking about obviously like a hurricane or anything, but you know, one of those like big storms, that like a lot of thunder and those types of things that'll wake some folks up. I'll find out about it in the morning.
I am a deep sleeper, but not that bad.
Yeah, man. But what's crazy about it though is that I sleep deep, but I'll wake up if there's something that's like pertinent, like if there's something near me, mm-hmm. right? If the like sense of danger, what have you. Like, I'll wake up for that, but like, nah, if it's just like one of those kind of annoyances that wakes you up when you don't want to, I'm good on that.
I think I've found one that everybody who knows me, you know, knows me well, you know, and would agree. I think I'm in the creative cussing Hall of Fame.
Oh, so you go in with the 713 where they're in the creative uses of the F word Hall of Fame.
No, like when I'm driving,
uh-huh.
and I get upset, I don't go into full road rage or all that stuff. I just do an assortment of words that shouldn't go together, but somehow do.
Okay.
And sometimes when I'm with my buddies or the family or whatever, I can put together a string of curse words that you probably have never heard before.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a specialized skill. I appreciate that. Speaking of words, I might be in the unnecessarily big word Hall of Fame at times.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but that's nothing to be ashamed about. That's good.
Okay. I don't know if it's inherently good. It's just a thing.
You could you're not a Hall of Famer yet. But
okay.
But you're in the Hall of.
I'm working my way to it.
Yeah.
You know, we're putting more, you know, more years down. Like,
yeah.
This is a longevity proposition here.
Yeah.
Right.
You're like Eli Manning. You're in the Hall of Very Good.
Eli Manning is going into the Hall of Fame. Whether you like it or not, go ahead and prepare yourself.
I do agree. When it comes to beating yourself up.
Ah.
Like, he beats himself up, like, after a segment, I should have said this,
uh-huh.
I should have done that,
yep.
I can't believe I did this,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, dude, that was good, like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
he's definitely in the Hall of Very Good of beating yourself up for no consequential reason.
Yep, and I will not stop, I'm going to continue working to get my own wing in that one. From the 346, the Brady Bunch Viewers Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Alzheimer's Caregivers Hall of Fame, too, for a serious one. Shout out to Mary Beth. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, appreciate your work in that way. I'm sure that the people that you're working with, the mm-hmm. person that you're working with, appreciates it, even if, you know, at times it seems like it can be for nine. I know that's a tough place. I hadn't thought about like the are you in the top 1% of viewers of this particular show or lovers of this particular show? Mm-hmm. Do you have one for yourself? Would it be one of them? One of those reality shows? For you?
Exactly.
Okay, very good. I don't want to know the name.
737 says the Procrastination Hall of Fame.
I used to be up there.
That's a talent.
I've done a good job taking myself away from a Hall of Fame status there. But yeah, I used to be a real, real strong procrastinator on that. Yeah, man.
Yeah. The All You Can Eat Hall of Fame. That's a talent. And my son-in-law is not all you can eat, but finding coupons or discounts at restaurants, at really nice restaurants.
Oh,
hey, on Tuesdays they do this. On Thursdays this place does that. On Fridays this place has that.
The couponers,
really,
man.
Good. It's not even necessarily like the specials.
Yeah,
and
the
all
specials,
that stuff.
But I think also like the couponers, mm-hmm. man. The people that will go into the store, pull out their little folder, and then take a $100 bill down to about 45, and you're like, hey, that is, wow, you did some good work there.
Yeah.
Along those lines, 713 said the Making the Last Dollar Stretch Hall of Fame.
That is a talent.
That is hugely important, man. Yeah. I've seen people be like, all right, well, I got about $15 to make it to the end of the week, and if I just do this and do that, and this don't got to get paid until Friday. So I'm going to let that one run a little bit like that. That level of executive function is incredible.
I feel a lot of us are in this boat from the 281 wearing the same rotation of clothes Hall of Fame. I have a rotation.
Well,
that was me in high school.
Yeah.
I didn't care anymore
like Monday,
about outfits.
Tuesday,
I literally
went,
had all my outfits for every week.
Yeah.
It didn't matter the day. I just had my outfits ready.
I don't know if I want to give you credit for a Hall of Fame there. Like, I feel like the Hall of Fame level there is caring about what you look like, but also finding a way to like rotate it and keep it fresh. If you don't care, like,
well, that's a different Hall of Fame. That's a different Hall of Fame. Like what he's saying is like, you know, I've got this big closet with all this clothes, but only about a third of it is what I wear, you know, or whatever.
Hall of Fame of eating a complete meal with one hand while driving. No, that itch actually is like the people that are the multitasking while driving Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
You scare the heck out of me. However, I will recognize that there is some level of skill involved there. Some other ones that come in, you mentioned the All You Can Eat Hall of Fame, but although I will say, depending on how old you are, that is also more impressive because I feel like as you get a little bit older, you just kind of learn to, like, the portion sizes just kind of get controlled.
Yeah.
It upsets me every Thanksgiving that I can't put down the plates like I used to. Mm-hmm. It used to be like, all right, we'll start with two plates, circle back around for a third, hit a fourth and a fifth, then we'll get some dessert. Like, I used to be able to throw them down. Now I'm like,
that metabolism, man.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
Some other ones that have come up. Somebody said Wiffle Ball Hall of Fame, and I'm not playing with you. I don't like people that are good at Wiffle Ball.
Yeah, it's just supposed to be like a park fun, you know, let's have some fun kind of game.
And then you got people throwing like the craziest knuckleballs and stuff. I'm like, this isn't fun.
Yeah,
we're just
messing around here, guys.
832, I think we all agree with you. The Fumbling Beautiful Women Hall of Fame. Yeah, man. That one's tough. That one, or just like
I had a shot.
The not recognizing that she was flirting Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
That one hurts. Definitely no. Let's see, another one. Falling asleep on the couch Hall of Fame.
That's a big Hall of Fame.
That's an incredible Hall of Fame, especially like we're headed into big time Hall of Fame season then, where we're talking about like if you are an NBA fan, where you get the double headers, where it's like that 9 o'clock game that really runs up till about midnight. It's like, you fall asleep right in about the third quarter and you wake up to find out who won. And then you take yourself to bed at about 3 a.m.
281 says rolling a blunt while driving Hall of Fame.
Oh, shout out to you.
I'd like to see that.
And
those guys that do it with one hand, that's incredible. Like, that's absolutely incredible. I used to have a roommate that could do it with one hand. I'm like, what's going on? How do you do that?
Yeah, that is a talent that takes time and skill and effort, and I respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Making a dollar out of 15 cents Hall of Fame. Shout out to the 832. Another 832 said, know your role and shut your mouth Hall of Fame. The Mind Your Business Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I also aspire to be in that Hall of Fame. The Mind Your Business Hall of Fame is a good one because we don't have enough people minding their business.
We do not.
In this game. Hey, let us know. What are the Hall of Fames that you would be qualified for? The National Football Hall of Fame is the one that Andre Johnson made.
That's a good one.
That's a great one, in fact. And he will get his ring on Sunday. Halftime, Texans Colts. Make sure you be there or, you know, watch it on TV. I imagine you'll be able to hear a little bit of what's happening there right here on
Absolutely.
Sports Radio 610. So, keep it locked and excited for that.
Hold on. I might be in this one. just real quick, yelling what? Mine is to my wife from another room, Hall of Fame. She talks to walls. Like, she's walking away telling me something. I'm like, what? Yeah, she's in the bedroom. I'm in the living room. And she's telling, trying to have a conversation with me. I'm like, what? Why do women do this? They talk to walls.
You good?
They talk to walls. I'm good. I needed to get that.
Yeah, I was like, that felt like that was less about, having a conversation and more about getting that out. So I just wanted to give you the room to get that out. The cheap fast food lunch combo Hall of Fame.
Yep.
The don't steal a chick Hall of Fame. That's called being a good person. I appreciate that. And I don't remember saying that Hall of Fame. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Yeah. Keep those rolling in. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where apparently we have found the NFL's new favorite food. We'll talk about that and more next.